This is Hillside Church's Sermon of the Week. Thank you so much for listening. To find out more about our church, our ministries, and our outreaches, please visit hillsidechurch.us.
Excited to be with you this morning. For those of you that do not know me, my name is Mitch Cherry. I am our children's ministry director here at Hillside, so I'm not just some bearded guy. I actually get the opportunity each and every Sunday to work with your children or work with the children here at Hillside. And I just, before we move forward, I got to give a big shout to my team. Some of them are in the pews today, and I just love them. So could you guys give them a round of applause? What they are doing downstairs is amazing. Also, as Pastor Paul said, it's your first Sunday. We're so excited that you decided to share this Sunday with us. And if you haven't already, at our Next Steps table in the back, we have a gift specifically for you. Here at Hillside, we believe in reaching people and building lives, and we want to partner with you while you're on this faith journey. And so that's just one way we can show you our appreciation, one way we can love on you as soon as you walk through the door. So, before we get to our main passage of study today, I want to look at part of a verse. Don't worry, I'm not taking anything out of context. I just believe that this part of this verse is something that each and every one of us can proclaim over our lives. And I believe it'll set the tone for today's message. So in Deuteronomy 30:19, it says this: "Now choose life so that you and your children may live." Now choose life. I believe all of us in this room today, if we were given a choice between life or death, we're going to pick life, right? But here's the question I want you guys to be asking yourselves today. Are you living a full life? Are you living a full life? See, God sees the potential in each and every one of you. He sees where he wants you to go. So are you living a full life? Choose life. This is also a great segue to get us to our main passage, but today we continue this collection of talks, this amazing sermon series that Pastor has taken us on. Really, it started Easter Sunday. But the actual series started the following week. And this series is titled Resurrection Living. Today is part 4 of that series. And I can remember when Pastor came to me and was like, "Hey, we're going to do something a little different this Easter season." And he approached me and he said, "Resurrection territory." And I'm like, "Huh? What's that?" It was a completely new idea or concept to me. I'd never heard it before. Resurrection territory. So in this message, Pastor Paul has done an excellent job getting us to understand and know that Easter, the Easter celebration, should not just be one Sunday. It should be 365 days a year. We should get in the habit of living with the perspective of a resurrected lifestyle. I mean, he conquered death for us, y'all, right? So last week, I loved the message, and he focused on this idea. Look alive. Look alive in your faith journey. He told us to be intentional. He told us to keep this perspective. So today, we're going to move forward with that. And I've subtitled this message, Choose Life by Staying Connected to the Vine. So, if you guys would, if you have your Bible today, please get it out. Flip to John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. I lead with flipping your Bible out because there's nothing better than standing on this stage and hearing them pages turn. You know what I'm saying? But if you are technically advanced and you have your phone, that's perfect too. If you don't, no worries. To each side of me, there's a screen, and directly above me, there's a screen so you can follow along. And also in your sermon notes, you can follow along. And someone once told me, those who keep sermon notes during a message get into heaven quicker. So, No, just joking. So the word of God, here we go. In John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, this is what it says. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Verse 5, I am the vine. I love how he says the vine. He didn't say I am a vine. He says I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me, I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Amen. Those are beautiful, beautifully spoken words by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, if you guys would, let's pray. Dear gracious and heavenly Father, we are overwhelmed to be in your presence today, Father God. We are thankful that we get the opportunity to gather together and sing praises to your name. We are so pleased with the opportunity and so thankful that you love us each and every day, Father. Lord, right now as we point our hearts to your message, to your word, to these words from your word, God, I just pray that you will speak through me, Father. Anything clever or funny that I come up with, Lord, I ask that these people quickly forget it, but rather your word resonates in their soul today. Lord, I also want to give a big shout of praise to your football team, the Indianapolis Colts. They had an amazing draft. We also want to pray healing over Andrew Luck. I'm excited. I love our Colts, and I know that your anointing is upon them. So, God, I love you. All God's people shouted. Oh, come on. All God's people shouted. Amen, amen. Amen. All right. Sorry, guys. I have to sneak the jabs in it. You Louisville fans are happy I didn't mention Kentucky today. So, but Wi-Fi. How many of you, by show of hands and throw them up high, how many of you have Wi-Fi at home? Pretty much everyone has raised their hand. You have Wi-Fi at home. Wi-Fi is crazy. Being connected to it has become second nature. I mean, it's just something that we do. We pop into a place and our phone automatically selects a network, and we're like, oh, doesn't mess my data up. Click. You're connected to Wi-Fi everywhere you go. You go on a vacation, and what's the first thing you see at the counter when you check in at a hotel? Wi-Fi. That's right. I believe personally, it might even be on their doors. I think it is, but I believe personally, here soon, hotels will put that on every parking spot. Wi-Fi available. Come on in. Stay with us. Here's another crazy one. Coffee houses. I am obsessed with coffee. It's my vice. I think I have a punch card in my wallet to every coffee shop in this area. So I go from each one and collect a free coffee. But the first thing you notice at a coffee shop is everyone is got their eyes on a device and connected to the coffee shop's what? Wi-Fi. Now, this one blew my mind, and it's a true story. I walked into McDonald's, and they have it on the door. We have free Wi-Fi at McDonald's. Are you serious? Fast food restaurants are now getting hip, and you can connect to their Wi-Fi. We all connect to Wi-Fi. Now, who absolutely hates when their Wi-Fi goes down at home? I know I do. All right, we don't have cable, we don't have satellite, we rely completely on Wi-Fi for any shows, movies, Netflix, Hulu, anything like that. We rely on being connected to the network or it don't work. And it's funny, I'm at work yesterday, And my wife texts me. I'm on my forklift, just at my J-O-B, you know. And my wife texts me and she says, what's wrong with the Wi-Fi? My initial thought was, well, honey, I'm not at home. Must not be working. And so I said, it must not be working. She goes, I know, the kids are freaking out. So even our kids, they're growing up in this day and age where you must be connected to the Wi-Fi. Jesus does not call us to connect to the Wi-Fi. So we're going to look at our main passage of study today, John 15, 1 through 8, and I love it. Now, these words are not some form of poetry or a nice thing that Jesus was just putting in there. Oh, that sounds pretty. No, it was intentionally put in the gospel for a reason. It was said by your Lord and Savior. This came out of his mouth. I love the phrase, the letters in red, right? Jesus spoke this. Now, we've heard Jesus say several times, I am, right? Throughout the gospel, you hear him say, I am. But this specific conversation, he says, I am the vine. He's talking to believers. He's talking to his disciples specifically. But this passage is for believers. See, Jesus, we all know wherever he went, he had a posse with him, right? I'm talking a crowd, a mob. Everyone wanted to hear Jesus. The Pharisees would be following Jesus. I always think of the Pharisees sort of hiding, just waiting to see if Jesus is going to mess up. So this isn't one of those conversations. This is a more intimate setting. This is Jesus with his now 11 disciples. They are sitting down, and Jesus is having a conversation with his disciples, with his believers. These are the people that he's been doing life with. Now back to this was for believers. A non-believer cannot bear fruit. But salvation is not a fruit-bearing event. But this is what I'm, hear me out, church. This is what it means. Just because you were saved does not mean you will bear fruit. Jesus is telling his disciples this. You must remain connected to me. Now, Jesus knew what was about to happen. This is moments before the greatest gift ever is given to us. And I say moments, it's quite a bit of moments. But this is Jesus knowing what's going to happen. He's preparing his disciples. He's letting them know, here soon, I will not be at arm's reach of you. You will not get to see me face to face. You will take this message and you will go out into the world and you are going to be faced with different ideas. You're going to be faced with different teachers and they're not going to align with this message, the only message. I am the vine. You must remain connected to me. See, this world is crazy. We all know that. And we are guaranteed to go through a whole lot of stuff. Jesus wants us to stay connected to him and be in relationship with him. But how do we do that? How do we live that out? So, I have a demonstration for you all. Someone must have told y'all the first four rows get wet. No, I'm joking. This right here is living water. This is living water. This vase represents myself or you. It's us as individuals. The ping pong balls inside this vase is what we can allow to define us. But this is living water. So you're a believer and you say, I'm going to read my Bible every day. So you're reading your Bible every day. You might come to church every once in a while. But it doesn't feel like anything is happening. It doesn't feel like anything has changed. Sure, it's a little juicy on Sundays. But throughout the week, it's dry. But God says, anything that is good is good to do continually. So at some point, the things in your life that have been defining you starts to be overtaken. You see, where your identity was by people starts to be defined by God. But what happens when you decide you're better than you used to be? What happens when you decide to disconnect yourself from God? What happens when you decide not to let God continue to pour into your life? Church, what that's called is lukewarm. But what is more visible? What's more visible from afar? From the back row, what is more visible? If I were to take all of you and put you in the parking lot and we could see this display, you might not even know that this is filled up with anything. All you're going to see are these orange balls. And see, church, when you get in this area, you start to think, social media, I can post whatever I want because I don't have my identity. Or you start to think, I'm going out to the club tonight. It's my birthday. I'm going to go wild. I don't have my identity. Or perhaps you are dealing with some financial struggle or marital struggle, whatever the struggle is. So you drink because you don't have your identity. God says, you don't have to be judged by that. People will see your inconsistencies. They will see your hypocrisies. They will see your flesh. God says, no.
It's the Holy Spirit.
He says, continue to pour me over it. Continue to go to church. Join a small group. Heck, join a team here at Hillside. Stay connected to Jesus. Now, here's my favorite part. This is my favorite part. I'm going to sing something for you. This is my favorite part. This is my favorite part. Now watch this. I love this. When the lies come back, they can only stay on the surface. When the enemy comes to attack you, come to beat you up, he'll come and tell you, you can't do this. You can't be that. You'll never be this. Your guilt and shame, God don't want anything to do with that. No. When the enemy does that, no matter what he does, if you are connected to the vine, the one and only true vine, Jesus, your Lord and Savior, no matter what he does, they will not stick. There's this story in the gospel, and it's just a tidbit. It's not one of these long stories or Sermon on the Mount. It's just a little story. It's actually a little scene. And it's Jesus. He walks up to a fig tree. But this little story, this little scene has so much implication on our faith journey. So much implication on our walk with Christ. He walks up to this fig tree. And he sees it in leaf. So it has a bunch of leaves. It's beautiful. But he sees it's not bearing fruit. So he curses it and it withers away and dies. This amazes his disciples. Jesus is frustrated. See, the fig tree Now, if we were to actually go to that specific time and place or that specific season of year, we might see that the fig tree just wasn't in season. But can I tell you this? Jesus doesn't care about seasons. Jesus was frustrated because the fig tree was appearing. It was appearing that it would bear much fruit, life-giving fruit, but it wasn't. As Christ followers, we've all been a fig tree. We appear on the outside, or on the outside, that we have it all together. We appear on the outside that we are this amazing Christian. We are this amazing child of God. But on the inside, we're hurting. On the inside, we are struggling. On the inside, Jesus sees that you are bearing no fruit. He sees that you have disconnected, that you have pulled away, and he is longing for you to come back. I like to believe that that scene in the Bible, Jesus was reminded of Genesis 3, and that's why he was frustrated. Adam and Eve, the very first two humans to follow God's guidelines, we know in Genesis 3, that was the fall of man. We know how the story plays out. We know that they disconnected themselves from God. They chose a different vine. And because of that choice, their byproduct was shame. What I want to remind you of, church, is no matter your shame, no matter your guilt, no matter where you are in your walk, Jesus is bigger than it. He will meet you where you are at. I love the saying, pursue God. But I like it even more. God does not stop pursuing you. See, Adam and Eve, they felt naked and ashamed. They even covered themselves with leaves that bore no fruit. Adam and Eve disconnected themselves from the Father. But when we remain connected, it is easy to spot the fruit. When we are living out the resurrection, we produce much fruit. Jesus longs for us to pursue him. He longs for us to get this perspective, to live this perspective out. Resurrection living is not about one day, it's about your life. Think of how many lives would be changed, how many people will come to the cross if we leave here today motivated and excited to share just that lifestyle with each and every person we encounter with, each and every person at work, each and every person at the store. That's what we are called to do. We are called to do that. And when we remain connected to the Father, our fruit is, we are blessed. We are fruitful. People see from the outside to the inside. We become transparent. They know something's different about him. It starts to rub off. It becomes contagious. When we live connected to the Father, church, the fact of the matter is this. When we are hated, love is our response. When tough times happen, joy is our spirit. When war breaks out, peace is our posture. When times are trying, patience is our stance. When we are mistreated, kindness is our tone. When the days are dark, we will fixate on the goodness of God. When we are cheated on, God's faithfulness is what we will model. When we are mishandled, gentleness will be our grip. And when all hell breaks loose around us, self-control. Self-control will keep us worshiping, keep us praising, keep us rejoicing. Because even when all hell breaks loose around us, we have heaven on the inside. Amen. Today, I want you all to leave proclaiming over your life that God, if you are allowing us to go through it, we are faithful and know we will come out of it. Proclaim it, church. God speaks promises over each and every one of us. You are not forsaken. He is with you every step of the way. Let us say to our Father, we will be your people. We will choose life. Church, resurrection living is not just one day. It is a perspective we will live out. Say to your Father, we're going to make it a way of living. After all, he conquered death for each and every one of us. So choose life. Stay connected to the vine. What I love about the call of salvation, I like to imagine it in my head. It's a door. It's a door that's never closed. It's always open. And Jesus is standing at that doorway with his arms wide open. He has got them stretched out. He's wanting you to come home. He's wanting you to live your life for him. He's wanting to reconnect with you. Perhaps you're sitting in here today and you've never heard the gospel this way. You don't know what step to take. What is my first step? Your first step is that thing that's happening on the inside right now, your first step is to acknowledge that, to accept and receive that, accept the salvation. It's freely given. Perhaps you're sitting here today and you're going through some stuff. You're in so much pain and you feel like you're all alone, but you've just forgotten to connect. You've been a Christian your whole life, but maybe something is going on in your life and it's just got you completely out. Maybe something happened in your past and it's made you disconnect yourself from God. That door is always open. His arms are always open. In a minute, I'm going to have all of you close your eyes. And whether the first person or the second person, on the count of three, we're going to raise our hand and we're going to ask God for salvation. We're going to ask God to rededicate. We want to rededicate ourselves to you. Whatever the case, the door's always open. Connect to the Father. So, church, please close your eyes. One, gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. No matter the struggle, no matter what's going on, Father God, you love us. You want us to connect to you. Two, the door is always open. No matter how big you think your guilt and shame is, it's open. God is bigger than that. He's already conquered death. That little guilt and shame you're dealing with, that's nothing. God is here for you. And three, just freely receive. Right now, raise your hands if you're either one of those people today. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you. Now, as a church, we're just going to say this prayer together for those who made decisions today. We're going to say this prayer together because we believe in coming alongside our brothers and sisters. Life is better together than separate. So it's a simple prayer. Everybody repeat after me. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for dying on the cross for me, for conquering death for me. I believe that you are the Son of God, and my sins are forgiven. I will live my life for you. Amen. I'm going to pray again for us. Just got a couple quick reminders. If you made a decision today, be sure to reach out to Pastor Paul, myself, Matt, anyone at the Next Steps table, our prayer team that will be down here later, and let them know that you made this decision, because we want to come alongside of you. The church is better together than separate. our lives are better together than separate. Jesus is complete proof of that. He had the disciples and him did everything together. I'm going to pray one more time, and that will conclude this message. Again, I love you all. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for this church. Thank you so much for this message, Father God. I pray that we are motivated, that we know that this was a pep rally. Tomorrow is church. We're going to go out into the world, and we are going to share the gospel, Father God. I pray that you motivate each and every one of your children that are gathered here today, Lord, and that they go out, and that they share the good news of you, Lord, and that they be your hands and feet. Father, I love you. I love you with all my heart. All God's people said, amen.
Our community at Hillside Church aims to reach people and build lives with the life-changing message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, please visit our website, hillsidechurch.us. God bless.